Dawn Recorded Lecture Service is pleased to present a session from the 1998 General Convention held at the University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown, Pennsylvania. The speaker for this session is Brother Carlton Chandler, whose subject is Wells of Salvation.
Good afternoon, brethren. Isn't it a joy to be together? We've looked for this convention probably this year more than in the past. I don't really know the reason for that, because we always look together to be together with the Lord's people. But there's just something special about this year, and I hope that when we leave here, we will take these blessings with us, and it will be a rejoicing to our hearts. We would like to read 6 verses to base our thoughts on this afternoon. From the book of Isaiah, we're going to read from chapter 12, the first 6 verses there. And we'll take this from the New International Version. In that day, you will say, I will praise you, O Lord, although you were angry with me. Your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name be exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. What a prophecy! A prophecy that primarily belongs to the nation of Israel. But when it is fulfilled and has its fulfillment, will spread joy to all the peoples of the earth. Part of this prophecy has already been completed, and it is still in the process of being fulfilled. In fact, this prophecy had the beginning of its fulfillment 120 years ago. We'll go into this part in a moment, but let's look at some beautiful thoughts that this prophecy brings out about the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. Verses 4 to 10 of this chapter speak of a kingdom of righteousness and peace. How the earth will be rejuvenated and made glorious. A kingdom of peace and tranquility. Dear brethren, how far different, how vastly different than what we see in the earth today. It's this kingdom that the angels sang about so long ago to the shepherds on the fields of Israel. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Luke 2:14. Isaiah 11 also speaks of the coming of Jesus, coming from the royal stock of David. Isaiah 11:1. And this shoot out of this stock of Jesse was David, but the branch out of his roots refers to Christ. In Isaiah 11:2, we read that the Spirit of Jehovah shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding. And then in this same chapter 11, in chapter 11, verse 4, we read these beautiful words, words that we have come to appreciate. With righteousness, how far different, my dear brethren. Righteousness, we see very little of it today. With righteousness shall he judge the poor, and with equity the meek of the earth. We read these verses also in the 17th chapter of Acts, verse 31. There, he has appointed a day. We look for that day, don't we? He has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. Then starting in verse 11 of this chapter 11 of Isaiah, we have a prophecy which already is having the beginning of fulfillment. He shall recover the remnant of his people that shall remain from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathos and Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. These were Old Testament cities. These were places that the Jews had been either migrated to or were banished to, away from their homeland. The prophet shows us a larger picture, a much bigger picture, that the nation would have been dispersed into all nations of the earth. And going on, we see this, for he says, he will assemble these outcasts of Israel and gather the dispersed from the four corners of the earth. Verse 12. We believe that we have seen the beginning of this, beginning in 1878. We believe this prophecy begins to date. It was at the end of the Jewish double. Jeremiah 16, 13 to 21. Brother Russell writes in volume 2, page 218, in 1878, the Berlin Congress of Nations was held, in which Lord Beaconsfield, Prime Minister of England, himself a Jew, took a leading part. For there England assumed the general protectorate over the Asiatic provinces of Turkey. And Beaconsfield, along with Theodore Herzl, provided the Jews the privilege to again inhabit and buy land in Israel. Brethren, have you noticed that some prophecies take a long time in fulfillment? 70 years later, Israel became a state, 1948. But 50 years have passed since that date. The prophecy of the dry bones of Israel, or of Ezekiel 37, is almost complete. But yet, breath has not been breathed into them to give them life. Ezekiel 37:14 reads, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and have performed it. This prophecy dear brethren, we have all come to realize will not be complete until the church is completed. We see this from Romans 11, verses 25 and 26. And also, this will not come to pass until after the great time of trouble has done its work, the four winds being let loose to blow. We refer you there to Revelation 7, verses 1 to 3. In verse 3 of chapter 12 of Isaiah, going back to that chapter now, we have the theme text, the wells of salvation. In verse 3 of Isaiah 12, again we read, with joy, you will draw water. What is just meant here by drawing water out of these wells of salvation? Certainly, we don't live in a time anymore, at least hasn't been in my day for quite a while since I've seen anyone draw water from a well. Some of you probably have done it in the past. No, these wells are symbolic. We'd like to look at another picture of water, though, where a well was used and water was drawn. And a picture was given to us, a beautiful picture. And that is from the fourth chapter of the book of John. We're going to read verses 3 to 6. John 4, verses 3 to 6. And Jesus departed to go into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. So he cometh to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near to a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat down upon this well. And it was about the sixth hour. It was about noon. Now, what do we know about this well? Well, the well lies near the modern city of Nablus. In olden days, it was called Sychar, between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And when first seen in 1697 by a man by the name of Mondrell, the well was only about 75 feet deep because it had been filled with stones to that point. But Mondrell says it was probably closer to twice that, 150 feet. And at one time it held 15 feet of water. But since that time, many stones were thrown into this well and filling it up about halfway, making it about that 75-foot depth. The wells in those days had to be dug deep because the summer shallows, if the wells were shallow in the summertime, these wells would dry up. The method, of course, was drawing water back in those days, method of rope and a bucket. And it took a great deal of work to get the water from the well. Oftentimes we've sat and wondered just exactly how this well could have been dug to that great depth, considering it was rocky soil. No dynamite, no mechanical shovels, probably a lot of hard backbreaking work. Verses 7 to 9 of this chapter. Then a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Now we know that the Samaritans were a mixed people whom the Jews despised and with whom they would have no dealings. And even all Gentiles, for that matter, were called dogs, even Jesus referred to the Gentiles by this name, Mark 7:27 there. And in this Mark 7:27 is another story about a Syrophoenician woman, a Greek woman, who wanted her daughter healed. And Jesus pointed out to this Phoenician woman, Syrophoenician woman, that only the Jews at that time were the favored people, and only to them was given the bread of life, God's word. Of course, we remember that she said, "Well, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs sit at the table and take the crumbs that fall off of it." And for her faith, her question of her desire to have her daughter healed was fulfilled. It was a logical question then, back in John, for this woman of Samaria to ask, "Why do you ask me?" We might wonder why, too. Why did Jesus ask this woman for a drink of water when the time had not yet come to give the water of life to anyone but the nation of Israel? No, this covenant made with Israel was still in force. The answer lies, though, we believe, in the fact that the Jewish age of favor was ending. Jesus knew that the nation had not been faithful to their covenant, and that soon they would be cast off, as we see in Matthew 23:37-38. Soon the gospel message would be given to the Gentiles. And our Lord was drawing a picture of the next age and its work. All these things were written for our admonition, we are told in Romans 15:4. But going on, we read of our Lord's answer to this woman in verse 10. "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked to give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Water was scarce in that part of the country, in that part of the world. Very valuable. In fact, they had water sellers who would go about crying, "The gift of God, the gift of God." In this term, the word living water refers not to that water that was in Jacob's well there, but to living water, a spring of water, moving water, active water. The opposite, just the opposite of the water that was in the well. Now, the water in the well was fresh, but it was not active or moving. And Jesus' words to the woman were this, paraphrasing here, "This is not the water that will totally satisfy your thirst. With this water you will continue to thirst and have to come here to draw." In the use of this word living water, the Greek zeo, it refers to life-giving water. The Greek for living means to live or to give life. But the woman was agitated. "Sir, you have nothing to draw with. You know this well is deep. How can you give me living water? Are you greater than our father Moses? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well? He came to drink, and his sons also came to drink of this well." So we do need an explanation here. And our Lord Jesus just does this in the next verse, John 4:14. "Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, in him," now here's the point, "in him a well of water," a spring, active water, water springing up into everlasting life, "in him shall this water become a well." The words of life here. Water are is a picture for the words of truth. How do we know this scripture doesn't belong just simply to the next age, the millennial age? We believe the answer lies in the scripture of John 7, 38 and 39. Let's read John 7, 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, that is his heart, shall flow rivers, active waters, living waters. Same Greek word. The thought of those coming into Christ is reinforced in verse 39. But he spoke of the Spirit, which they had, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Yes, and at Pentecost, this gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out, and those receiving it were energized by this Holy Spirit. Acts 1, 1-4. The one receiving it had his eyes open to the Scriptures, and this Holy Spirit was a means to make him a well of salvation. Now we see these wells of salvation are symbolic. And in our kingdom picture of Isaiah, the nation of Israel was the one spoken of who would first draw water from these wells of salvation. But in the larger picture, all the world will draw these waters of life. So we find in this picture that the woman at the well of Samaria, a grander picture yet to be fulfilled. When our Lord made the statement that whomsoever drinks of the water that he gives would become in him a well of water springing up into eternal life, the woman still did not understand. And it's understandable to you and to me, because she didn't have the Holy Spirit at that time. She couldn't understand those spiritual things. You have... She said to him, she says, all she wanted for the Lord to do, then she says, if you can do what you say, give me this water. Then I'm not going to have to come here to draw for it. I'm not going to have to work to get this water out of this well. You have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Yes, the well is deep. The well is very deep. But we must have a desire, dear brethren, to search the Scriptures, as we read in 2 Timothy 2:15. And we must have a willing mind, as we read in 2 Corinthians 8:12. True, brethren, no one wants to work for their salvation. No one wants to work for it. Just slide in on the coattails of someone else. In the kingdom, although the water of life will be supplied, each member of the human race will have to draw for himself this truth, this life-giving water of truth, if he is to live. First Israel will draw, then the world will draw. When our Lord inferred active flowing truth, we believe this is the words that he used when speaking of living water, he was not referring to this water from Jacob's well, this still water, but he was referring to flowing, active water. Certainly one would not have a literal spring within themselves. Of course not. Jesus didn't mean that at all. Soon a new and living way, though, would be opened up, as we read in Hebrews 10:20. And those walking in this way would be the instruments of giving the life-giving truth to all the thirsty millions of mankind. We have that ability, friends, now. The Jewish age was ending, a new age, the gospel age, was about to be inaugurated. And at the time that Jesus met with this woman, the Jewish age had not yet ended. And none of these Gentiles could at that time draw water or become a well of water of salvation. We believe that even though this woman didn't understand the picture that Jesus was drawing, she eventually will partake of these waters of life, for she looked for the Messiah to come. And she says, I know that Messiah will come. And Jesus said, you're looking at him. And of course, the picture is a much longer and a much grander picture, how the woman found out that Jesus knew everything about her past life, and how she then went into the city and she brought back people and said, you come and see for yourself. This man told me everything about myself. Truly, he must be the one that we are to look for. We see that water is a picture of life-giving truth, and each one in the body of Christ will become a gushing spring, a spring of life. Even now, friends, even now, we can give this cup of cold water, the water of life, to others. But how do we become this well of water? How can we become an active spring of life to others? What determines this condition? And are we even now, as prospective members of the body of Christ, through the aid of the Holy Spirit, are we even now an active spring or well? Yes, we can even now give a cup of cold water to those in need. First, though, there must be that willing mind. Do we have that willing mind? If there first be a willing mind, it is accepted what a man has and not what he does not have. 2 Corinthians 8:12. How does one become a well of water of truth? By first being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. By a full and complete consecration of his will to the will of the Heavenly Father, and an active zeal in the fruits of the Spirit. By being filled with this Spirit, we become active and in the dissemination of the Word of Truth. What is that? In thine hand, ask the Lord. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:2. We must lay down our lives in service, even unto death. 2 Timothy 2:11 and Romans 6:3. Therefore, as we are becoming the wells of salvation, we must first work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because God is working with us. And it is His will to both do of His good pleasure, as we read in Philippians 2:12 and 13. Soon, we'll see a river begin to flow to all mankind, a life-giving river. That river will start small and grow and grow and grow until it fills and waters and nourishes the whole earth. Why do we pray, friends? Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as your will is done in heaven. The question remains for us. We have not much time. Are we desirous of becoming the wells of salvation? Are we desirous of giving the truth to others as each of us has the privilege of doing even now? That's the question. And only you and only I can answer it. Each of us for ourselves. How desirous are we of becoming these wells of salvation? Revelation 22, 1-3. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as a crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of this great street of this city, and on each side of this river, stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of this tree were for the healing of the nations. The nations need to be healed. They're sick and in a condition that we long to see a change. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. Brethren, let us strive hard to become the wells of salvation.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.